Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, why doesn't Jimmy Butler want to join forces with LeBron? Plus, Space Jam 2 is a go. You'd better believe Skip and Shannon have thoughts on LeBron's latest Hollywood venture. And should the Cowboys be relying on Dak Prescott's legs more often? Skip, Shannon, let's get to it. Jimmy Butler reportedly wants a trade out of Minnesota and has his sights set on joining the Clippers. The Knicks and Nets are also in the mix, but the Clippers are the front runners where he could reportedly team up with Kawhi Leonard next summer. ESPN is reporting that Butler imagined playing for the Lakers, but LeBron's arrival made the purple and gold less appealing. Shannon, if Butler and Kawhi go to the Clippers, where does this leave LeBron?
LeBron's fine. Like I said, we're going to get a D next year, AD or KD. One of those guys will be a Lakers if we, you know, might get Klay Thompson, too.
Speak it into existence,
right? It's going to happen. You hate it.
Well, it's just...
First of all, Skip, the Lakers probably would have been interested in Jimmy Butler, but he became less appealing once they got the King. Let's be real all the way real about that. People talking like Jimmy Butler was like that. Mm-hmm. You know, he got to the second round twice. Mm-hmm. He got out of the first round with Minnesota zero times.
Yeah.
So let's stop talking about like Jimmy Butler is a top 10 player.
I know, but now the reports are that Jimmy Butler is finding the Lakers less appealing because they have LeBron.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I believe the Lakers find him less appealing because they have LeBron. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Let's be all the way 100, Skip Bayless. Given a choice. LeBron is at the Lakers, so they wanted him. He wanted to be there. If I got a choice between Jimmy Butler, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, which selection do you think Jimmy Butler's going to be? He's going to be first, second, or the last option.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
What's your next point?
Now, we got at some point in time, we got to realize now, okay, they wanted Jimmy Butler up out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be up out of Minnesota. So everything ain't as hunky-dory because we got a common denominator. Mm-hmm. We got a guy that's about to be on his third team in about 3 years.
Mm.
So what's the common denominator in this theme, Skip Bayless?
Mm.
Different teams, same player. Mm. Okay. Everybody keeps talking about they don't want to play with LeBron. Well, you must not like championships. You must not like contending for championships on a yearly basis.
Mm.
Because if you do, you like playing with him.
Well, when he could cakewalk through the East to get to the finals,
whoa.
That would work.
Skip.
But he lost six times in the finals.
So what? Hold on, look at the teams that he mentioned. He mentioned the Nets. They're in the East. They're going to the finals. He mentioned the Knicks. They're in the East. He's going to the finals. He mentioned the Clippers.
He didn't mention them. They're at the top of his list.
Okay. If they get Kawhi, they get Jimmy Butler, the Clippers, and the Golden State Warriors stay intact, what are they going to do?
If the Golden State Warriors stay intact, that means you don't get one of the Ds, KD, who will stay as the driving force of the Golden
but
State
we'll
Warriors.
But we'll get AD and get somebody
else. That's pie in sky. You know it, and I know it. It's a long shot that you're going to get AD.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. It's just wishful thinking.
Let me bet you don't mind me asking.
What if you don't get either one of them?
Let me ask you a question.
Now what are you going to do?
Who is his new representation?
Well...
I need you to say it for the people at home because they don't know like you and I know. Who represents Anthony Davis from this day moving forward?
Unclutch Sports.
Don't do that, Skip Bayless. Richard Paul deserves more
respect. He's not going to like it that I said it, and I don't care.
No.
He's CEO of Clutch.
Oh.
Clutch.
With a K. Okay, I'll give you spelling it with a K.
Clutch.
But not with a C. You can't spell
Clutch.
It with a C. You haven't earned it.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's about to be the Scott Boras of basketball.
Yeah. That'd be a lot.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a lot.
Yeah. He's going to corner the market on second stars for LeBron? I don't think so. That line is getting longer and longer of those who have turned down LeBron James. Kyrie wanted out of Cleveland.
Kyrie wanted his own team.
Okay, but he just said, I can't take it anymore with LeBron James. I want out.
And it reported he going to the Knicks because he wants his own team.
And what are the long shot odds that he would reunite when he becomes a free agent with LeBron in L.A.? I say next to zero.
We good.
Yeah.
Okay. We good, Skip.
So, Paul George, L.A. area native. He's got a chance to go home, play for the Lakers and LeBron, and he says, no, I'm going to stay in Oklahoma City with Russ. Really?
No,
interesting. Interesting. So, everybody, you've been talking all year about Kawhi this, Kawhi that.
Yeah.
So, He quits his way out of San Antonio.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. He quit his way out of San Antonio. Winds up in Toronto where he's just got to play out the string for a year. And he's coming to the Clippers, says ESPN.
Okay.
The Clippers.
Wishing well.
With Jimmy Butler.
Wishing well.
And all of a sudden, the Clippers are run by the great Jerry West, who's no joke.
Again, let me ask you another question. Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard for the Lakers. Where is Kawhi? Is he first, second, or third on that list?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then.
For me,
real
not,
talk.
Not even on my
real
list.
Real talk,
Skip Bayless. But if you pair him up with Jimmy Butler and all that defensive talent that they already have, a Patrick Beverly, and all of a sudden you're saying, boy, those are a lot
you
of
compare,
top.
You can compare Kawhi with Jimmy Butler, Malcolm Butler, Kevin Butler, it doesn't matter. If the Lakers get KD or AD, they're going to run roughshod over the Clippers and the West.
Mm-hmm. No, if they just get KD, they would run
around. I said either one of them, Skip Bayless.
I don't know about the other guy. I'm not sure about
you,
that.
You better be sure.
I'm just not
that sure. That dude was a 28-12 with three blocks.
Yeah, and he's gone how far in the playoffs? He has how many wins?
He ain't got nobody. Skip.
So they nuked Portland. Okay.
Nuked him.
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah.
Next, Nurkic, you said he was already dead anyway.
Oh, bro, bro.
He was in a body bag.
He did it.
They pulled him out of the body bag to play in the first round of the playoffs.
And they got swept. They got swept. Oh, but you remember what he did to your Spurs?
Who?
AD.
Man, he always has good games.
Oh, no. And then it took Golden State, but Golden State beat a lot. Hey, he made them sweat. He's 33-34-12. Oh, he made them work.
Yeah.
He cooked everybody.
He gets his, and the rest of them don't get
theirs. But that's what we got Bron for.
Really?
So now you got to worry about Bron, because Bron might average like 13, 14 assists.
Yeah. So all these players are watching what happens to the second star next to LeBron James, and they're saying, I don't want any part of that, because Kyrie wanted out, but that was different because Kyrie was sort of equal stature with LeBron.
No, he wasn't.
They did win a championship together, and Kyrie.
But there was no equal stature with
the stop. Was the closer. The clutch shot shooter.
Because that just goes to show you what type of man, because LeBron James is so secure in who he is.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what, Kyrie? I'll let you take the last shot. I'll let people lead you to believe that you are the closer, because we saw what LeBron did this year with no Kyrie.
Who
closed him.
Who hit the shot in game 7 of the one that they stole from Draymond?
So we're not going to say anything about that block.
Huh?
We're not going to say anything about that triple-dub that
the
he had in game 7.
Bicycle built for two?
So we're not going to say anything about that triple-dub or games 5 and 6 where he was 41?
Who hit the shot to close the deal?
Skip, there's a lot of...
He did. Kyrie
Whoa.
Game over.
Now, you told me. Now, this is what you told me, because LeBron did hit a couple of shots like that against Indy and Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
Not Golden State, excuse me. Indy and Toronto.
He finally did in his 15th year. He finally hit a couple of them. Way to go.
But you and Rob Parker and Chris Broussard told me that had LeBron missed those shots, it's going to overtime, so it doesn't have as much meaning. The game was tied.
Mm-hmm.
The shot Kyrie hit, if he misses it, what, Skip Bayless? Do they lose?
Yeah, but nobody could make a shot until Kyrie said, let me just get this thing over with.
Okay.
Do you remember the shot Kyrie hit on Christmas Day against KD and company? Remember that one?
Yeah.
That fall away over Klay Thompson?
And what did LeBron
talk about clutch?
You remember LeBron dunked everybody. Draymond, KD, dunked them in the basket?
Yeah, hung on the rim, should have gotten
No, do this, Kim. Don't do that.
So here we go again with LeBron. He just doesn't have enough help. He doesn't have enough help. That's what I'm going to hear. I have to hear this for 3 more years. He just doesn't have enough help.
Can I ask you a question? Why no one ever said that about Steph? Or he just doesn't have it. He got KD. Mm-hmm. No one said Steph Curry didn't have enough help.
No one ever put Steph in the same sentence with LeBron James.
But Skip, the guy.
Steph is like 6'1", and LeBron's 6'9", 260,
okay,
280.
Yeah, he's a 6'1". Unanimous MVP, back-to-back MVP. Nobody said James Harden doesn't have enough help as he got Chris Paul. Nobody said that. Why do they only say that about LeBron?
And how many championships have those two won together?
But that's not,
maybe they would have won.
Let me ask you a question. So why are they getting these guys if they're not trying to win a championship?
Everybody saw what happened to poor Kevin Love last year when LeBron didn't have enough help, and Kevin Love was supposed to be the second star. And every time he came up small, it was his fault.
The man averaged.
You get demonized if you're the second star with LeBron.
Skip, okay, he's the second star. He averaged 9 points a game in his first series against Indiana. What the hell am I supposed to do with a guy averaging 9 points making $23 million a year?
Mm.
You remember him in all those finals, not showing up, getting punked by Draymond?
Yeah, I just remember in game 7 against Indiana when they were on the ropes. They're up only one with a minute left in the third quarter, and LeBron mysteriously cramps up, quote unquote.
Ain't no quote unquote.
And he walked up the ramp.
Carried him.
I don't know what he was doing, and he's out for 5 clock minutes, and Kevin Love went berserk.
Let me tell you.
He made 2 threes and another mid-range jumper, and all of a sudden it goes from up 1 to up 8 when LeBron uncramps.
Here's the thing, Skip Bayless. You and I both lift weights. No matter how strong you are, there will become a weight that you can't carry. You got to get out from up under. Mm. Well, maybe carrying them for the first 6.5 games, he needed a little break.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Kevin Love, for scoring 6
game
points.
Game 7? I thought he was in shape.
Phony.
Game 7, he kept getting tired.
There's no man in the history of the game and has scored had
more 40
playoff
games.
You know
what it's going to come down to? Seriously, will the Laker kids grow up enough before LeBron grows old? That's what's going to happen because it's going to be year 17, year 18, and he's not going to have a second star unless you count Rondo or Lance or JaVale or Michael Beasley.
I'm counting KD or AD.
Yeah.
However you want to put it.
You better. If you get KD, game over. I got you. I'm just not sure
you'll
that's going to happen.
You'll hate LeBron doesn't have enough help. Mm-hmm. KD went there to save him. You'll find every excuse
well,
to
he
try
would.
To minimize it.
He's and cry faces.
No, seriously. KD might find it in the depth of his heart to save his friend LeBron and help him win one last championship.
Ain't no one.
Kevin would do that. Kevin's Kevin. Built that
they
way.
They get together, they're going to win it every year.
Yeah.
They get together, they win it every year.
Well, he's not going to play as long as Brady plays.
Yeah, they'll matter. He'll go play. If he play with KD 3 years, three championships. No mercy.
All right, the wait is finally over. Space Jam 2 is happening. Reports say LeBron is teaming up with Black Panther director Ryan Coogler, who will produce the movie, which will shoot next offseason. And we all remember the first Space Jam starred Michael Jordan in the 90s. LeBron posted on Instagram a shot of a locker room that included Bugs Bunny at point guard and himself, small forward. Not a bad shot. Loved the reaction we all saw on social media about that. Shannon, what is your personal reaction?
I believe I can fly. Yes, it's great. Hmm. If you're going to do a remake of this movie with the greatest player that during that generation, that era, Michael Jordan, it's only fitting.
To follow in his footsteps?
That you follow with the greatest player of this generation and the greatest player of all time doing the remake.
Can you measure up?
You know LeBron James. You saw him in Trainwreck. Dude got skill. He's more than a basketball player. Now I know where Skip is gonna go with this.
I don't know.
This is why he moved to LA. He's more Hollywood. He's more Michael B. Jordan than Michael J. Jordan. I know where you're going, Skip. I know you. But it's funny how Michael Jordan filmed this movie in August of 1995. Between August and October, when he's gearing up to come back for a full season in 96. Now, that's when he did it, Jenny. That's when he did it. That's when he did the movie.
How many other movies did
he do? Can I finish that? This is not your turn. This is my time.
Well, you're speaking for me.
No, I'm not. No. All I'm saying is, so now it was reported, true, documented, that Warner Brothers built him a court next to the set. Michael also solicited that guys that are in the L.A. area, they need to come by and get a game in with. So LeBron James going to do a movie. He's going to film the movie in the offseason. But now he cares more about movies than he cares about basketball. Two things can happen, Skip Bayless. Because this is what LeBron James knows. At the heart of everything, sure, he does things outside. He has a production company, and the shop is great, the barbershop. And he got small feet. He got an animation that's out. He did Trainwreck, all this stuff. But at the heart of everything that LeBron does, he understands that he's a basketball player. First and foremost.
Really?
And all that comes outside of that is because of basketball prowess and how great he is on the court.
Yep.
I don't believe LeBron James will ever lose sight of that, Skip Bayless. No matter what you think of him, he did this, he did that. LeBron James is great. The greatest. And it's just going, he's like, well, hey, I want to do other things too. And I can. Because I believe, guess what? They shoot movies in Cleveland. They shoot them up there. So if it's in the offseason, I can assure you, they would have brought that production company, they'd have shot that movie in Cleveland. But since he lives here, but he's been living here for the last 3-4 years, so he's had a home in L.A., in the Brentwood area, got another home for a while. So it's only natural. I'm in the off season. Let me go on and film this. Let me go on and make this thing make about quarter of a bill. Probably do 500 mil overseas and everything. So LeBron James knows he has those kind of tentacles that test touch has reach. And so he reaches the basketball court. He reaches the entertainment industry. He's more. I keep telling you, Skip Bayless, you heard what you saw what his t-shirt said? More than an athlete.
He is definitely
more
that.
Than an athlete.
He's way more than an athlete.
Yeah, and don't forget it.
He's a Hollywood mogul and an actor and a star. Woo. So before I get to the guts of what I would like to say about all this, I do want to say way to go, LeBron, because these are inspired choices. Ryan Coogler to produce, Terrence Nance to direct. These are Hollywood forces, black men in their early 30s, just like LeBron. And everything LeBron touches in Hollywood does turn to gold.
Yeah.
He does. He always does it first class, right way.
King Midas is his name.
He's got King Midas touch here. And I believe Space Jam 2 will be memorable because everything he's done has been memorable.
Yeah.
But you didn't quite get my line right. He's no longer chasing Michael Jordan. He's chasing Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
And he might not have to really chase him when this is shot because we know what Ryan Coogler's done with Michael B. Jordan, Fruitvale and Creed and Black Panther. So do you think we'll find a little slot here in this one, a little role for Michael B.?
Well, he might be chasing Michael B. because he already passed Michael J.
Oh, did he?
Michael Jeffrey, he already passed him, so he might as well chase the Hollywood guy.
Just like you're the only one in the known world who thought that was a penalty, you're also the only one in the known world who thinks that he's passed Michael J.
No, I'm not.
Jordan.
No, I'm not, Skip. You know.
I don't.
There's a strong contingent.
Yeah, your 17 followers on Twitter. But the point here is that there's also a report that the real Michael Jordan might also somehow be attached to this.
Yeah!
And I'm thinking, what?
Yeah!
Because I don't buy that. I don't believe that the real Michael Jordan would stoop to be attached to
Hell, you
to
know what, Skip Bayless.
No,
I got to stop. I got to stop.
No, he just would not.
I'm not going to let you talk about stoop.
Yeah, stoop.
You make it.
He wouldn't lure himself to be involved in LeBron's number two? Come on.
You make it seem
it's
like...
number two.
No, don't do that.
Huh? He's number one.
I can't believe you talk about stupid.
Well, I'm serious. Why would he do it? What does he need that for?
This man is an A, first-rate, A basketball player.
Yeah,
and his prowess in the on the movie screen is second to none, Skip Bayless.
Second to none. I don't know if I'll go that far.
You saw the athlete. You saw him in Train Wreck.
He can play himself.
Was he good in Train Wreck?
And I saw him...
Well, who the hell Michael Jordan played in...
Wait, I saw him in Train Wreck 2 in last year's finals. At the end, I did. At the end of the game one.
If you don't mind.
That was a train wreck on the bench. Is that not? He melted down. And it was a great, he should have won the Oscar.
Can I ask you a question?
No, seriously.
Who the hell was Michael Jordan playing in Space Jams?
Himself.
Okay.
But he didn't pretend to be anybody else. He didn't want to be a movie star.
Who is LeBron going to play in Space Jams too?
Well, he'll have to play himself.
Okay, then.
And a lot of other players will play roles.
Okay.
And Michael B. will play some role. Maybe he'll be the villain. I don't know. He's a great villain. He might be the all-time greatest villain.
First of all, how you know Michael B. Jordan's going to be in the movie?
I just think with Ryan Coogler.
No. He said Michael J. Jordan going to be in the movie.
I know, but I think both Michael B. J. will be in the...
I see that.
Right?
Yeah. You know what, Skip Bayless? It's going to happen.
But you know what? The real Michael Jordan, there's no way he's actually...
Why
would he need it? Does he need to boost his sneaker sales?
You think
he needs to promote himself?
Hold on, time out, Skip Bayless. You actually think LeBron James needs to do Space Jams too? Everybody know who this man is.
I know that, but he's following in the footsteps. The big guy did one, and he says, "Well, Skip, I got to try to live up."
Everybody had to follow in somebody's footsteps.
Okay,
Skip.
All right.
Except
for Michael, he didn't really follow anybody. He just set all the standards. He broke all the rules and did it his way.
Well, he was first of all, he wasn't the first brand. Arnold Palmer had a brand. Jack had a brand. So he did follow somebody's footsteps.
They weren't like this brand.
Okay, but it was a brand, so he had to follow. The template was set. Okay, Skip, come on. So now everybody that comes along that wants to be a brand, you trying to copy Michael Jordan, really?
No, but Michael's still as popular as he ever was because of his sneakers.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
True.
I wear them every day. I live in them because they're the
best. I wear
them
too.
Yeah?
I wear LeBron's.
You don't wear LeBron's.
I do wear LeBron's.
You wear Jordans more than you do LeBron's.
I do. Thank you very much. But Skip, you got to realize, Michael Jordan had a Michael came out in 84. LeBron came out in 03. So he had a 20-year head start on him, Skip. Yep. I mean,
So do you know what IMDb is? Sure you do, right?
Yeah.
And it lists all of your credits as both an actor, director, producer, right? Mm-hmm. So Michael Jordan's is short because it's just the one thing.
But
LeBron's, his IMDb is getting longer than his basketball stats because he is a Hollywood force now. I looked at it this morning. He has 18 executive producer credits.
Wow.
18? And I don't even want to start on what they are, but it seems like every other night I see an ad for a project executive produced by that guy and Maverick Carter and his group. But obviously, I don't think that guy just throws his name on a project without looking at the script and thinking it over and maybe giving a little input into it.
It was reported that he and Maverick Carter, they wanted this movie made 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But he was waiting for the right time,
correct,
the right people to come on board.
Thank you for saying that, because yesterday it was reported that LeBron had spent weeks going over different scripts for Space Jam 2. And he had spent weeks researching producers and directors before deciding on the correct guy, these guys.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he did his homework.
Yes.
Homework takes time.
Yeah.
It takes focus. It takes energy. And yet, just since he signed with the LA Lakers, you want to talk about an itinerary, a travel schedule? I've never seen anything like this before, because every day I look up, he's somewhere new.
Yeah.
He took his family to Italy right away.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he goes on a Nike promotional tour, which takes him to France and Germany and China. And I don't know of only three times, because there are probably more, but three times I know for sure he's been to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Because he went for his kids' game, and then he went for the NBA Summer League, and he was there Saturday night at the fight. I look up, and there's LeBron and Maverick.
That G650 will get you there.
Yeah,
France,
okay.
London, England, all over.
Okay.
Shanghai, doesn't matter.
Fashion Week in New York.
Yeah.
LeBron was there.
Hey, when you got them pilots on standby.
Mm-hmm. And see this morning, last night at the Peppermint Club here in West Hollywood,
who shows up? Oh, man, I thought I might go in there too.
Dave Chappelle's got the all-star stand-up comic review, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of stand-up comic stars. Will Smith was there, and there were several. This whole list, I can't remember all the. But LeBron goes up on stage and does a little bit of stand-up. They said he didn't do very much, but he's there, so he's part of that.
If I'd have known, your boy would have been there.
Okay, well, I would have watched that.
But
that's one of those like unannounced things where guys just show up and get on stage.
Oh, what?
Wow.
Oh man, you know I'm improv.
Yeah.
Improv.
So my point is, it feels like basketball has become a hobby to LeBron.
Well,
no, seriously.
Well, you know what?
Like, it's a sideline.
He thought about going to Staples, but it was closed last night at 10 o'clock.
Was it? Okay.
He got that work in.
If I'm Magic Johnson and I'm paying this guy $36 million just for next season, I'm thinking, gee, just every once in a while, couldn't you show up at the facility and try to get to know your new teammates once in a while?
Did you see him practicing the other day with his new teammate?
Well, yeah, and he posted just to show that he was there. It was the rare one day that he was there.
We don't do a lot of posts. Mm. That work getting in. We doing that work. Yeah. That work's going to get done.
You know, a picture doesn't prove work, actually. Just one picture, I don't know about that.
You know what, Skip Bayless? I don't think anybody will ever think that LeBron James is not working hard.
Mm.
He will never mistake habit for hard work.
He works hard on his body, but how about on his game and his team?
Did you see?
No, seriously.
You on IG.
Huh? Yeah.
You on IG.
Yeah.
Well, pull the footage with him and the All-Stars with that Lifetime.
Well, I don't follow anybody.
Well, no, you ain't got to follow him. All you got to do is just type in and he got it posted.
I don't have time.
So you don't look at anyone else on Instagram?
Huh?
No time for LeBron? You're not seeing what he's up to?
No.
Zero time.
I don't follow
time.
Anybody.
Yeah, but
you don't have to follow.
Yeah, you can check him out. You can see what
Yeah, and you see that work he's putting in.
Okay, so is he putting in work with his new teammates? Because they're all new. It's a whole new cast.
Oh, you
dozens.
Oh, well, hey.
Really?
Well, you should have told Jerry Jones that. To put Dak Prescott in the game for his all new teammates in the preseason.
Okay, but that's
all new.
He's trying to protect him. I don't think LeBron's going to get hurt shooting around with his teammates.
He was there. He's been shooting around.
I don't think he has been there. I think that's a problem. I think this year is semi-retirement.
You know what, Skip?
No, seriously.
Kyle Kuzma posted that him and Bron been working out. Other guys have been posted them and Bron been working.
He's been there 2 days in the offseason.
Why you, Skip? See, there you go. See, my grandfather said, boy, don't count the time. Make the time count.
Mm.
See, you count the days. Well, we make the days count.
He made the 2 days
count. We make the whatever it is. 10 minutes or 10 days. As long as you make it count. That's what we do, Skip.
No Jimmy Butler, no Kawhi Leonard, no help. Just do Hollywood. And now you caught Michael B. Jordan because he's going to be in your movie.
And KD got a production company.
And he did a guest shot with KD.
Yeah, KD got a production company.
But did you see? He did a guest shot with KD for his new show over the weekend. He is everywhere except at the Laker facility.
Oh, he got a basketball court in his backyard.
And does he?
Okay. Yeah.
I know he's getting got a big swimming pool.
Yeah.
I've seen those pictures.
Yeah.
I'm about to pull up. How do they have all the time?
Can you take that G5 down the floor?
He got no G5. He got that 650.
Okay.
73 mil.
Really? Can you fly it to the Laker facility? I don't know.
No, he got.
That'd be a quick one.
He got a driver. Yeah. Pull up in El Segundo.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
He's got to find his way to El Segundo. Not sure where it is.
Or he can just come right down here and go to UCLA because they always got game full. No mercy.
Dak Prescott had 45 rushing yards in the Cowboys' win over the Giants on Sunday. This week, Jerry and Stephen Jones appeared to have different views on Dak running the ball. Jerry said, quote, "We're going to use Dak. The pass-run option is a key part of the game today, and Dak can really do it well, so we'll use him." But Stephen said, quote, "You just can't consistently serve your quarterback up as a runner. I can't see our plan being to run Dak 8 to 10 times a game." We are joined by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings. Welcome. Thank you for being with us today.
Good morning.
I've decided, though, when I talk about the Cowboys, it might work better to start with Skip here.
It just might, because I'm the only one who really gets the Dallas Cowboys.
This
go ahead.
Your QB.
No.
Should he run?
Yes.
Should Dak be running?
I'm sorry. I really disagree with what Stephen Jones said. And usually Stephen's is kind of the brains of the operation because his dad can be a little out there occasionally. But I'm with Daddy on this one because Dak Prescott needs to run 8 to 10 times a game. It's a crucial part of what he does best. And if you will, I'll just throw a quick stat at you. Dak Prescott, 25 yards or fewer rushing in a game, they're 13-10. 25 yards or more in a game, they're 10-2. And the two losses came to Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay at Jerry World when Dak played, I thought, his best game of the year. He had a QBR of 97 on a scale of 0 to 100. And what happened in the second half after my team led 21-12 at halftime? No Sean Lee. Defense collapsed. And so it all went for naught. But they shouldn't have lost that game. And the one they should have lost was the second loss in the 10-2. It was at Atlanta the first game with no Zeke. There was no Ty Smith. There was nobody. There's no Sean Lee. So it was a disaster of a game. And again, it wouldn't have mattered if he'd rushed for 100 yards in that game. They would have lost. So in the end, what is Dak Prescott? He is a smooth, slick decision maker and ball handler when it comes to the read option. I don't see anybody run it better in pro football. It's hard to make that choice as quickly.
Excuse me.
Nope. This guy runs it better than Cam does consistently. Cam runs better. They just call Cam's number. He can run quarterback draws or just keepers. But this guy on the read option, because he's got a nuclear weapon that he is pulling the ball away from that attracts about 2/3 of the defense, and often it's just wide open to the left or to the right, and he takes off running. And what does he also do very well? He slides. He doesn't look for contact, but he can give as good as he gets because he weighs 250 pounds and he can take an occasional lick. Have to run. It's part and parcel of who they are and what they do. It's part of ball control. It's why they went 82 yards in 18 plays to put away the New York Football Giants the other night. Mm-hmm. It's why he can sustain long drives, because every once in a while he will gash you when you least expect it when he keeps the football.
I'm not shocked that you sided with Jerry as opposed to Stephen. Because you're looking at the short-term effect of this. You want to win right now.
So does Jerry. Games are so important to us.
But here's the thing. This doesn't go to the development of your quarterback being able to throw the football. Yeah, you're going to win a few games. But if you want to have long-term success, your quarterback better be able to consistently and accurately throw the ball from the pocket.
He can.
Well, if that's the case, why do we got to do this? If he could do what you said he did, there's no – Aaron Rodgers doesn't do this. Tom Brady doesn't do this.
Aaron Rodgers can't do this. Tom Brady can't do this.
Really?
Can't.
No.
Skip.
Stop playing.
Aaron can't do this.
You do.
Aaron can do it right now.
He can't. He's too slender. He's too fragile.
Skip, let me tell you.
He's got a tissue paper collarbone. He didn't want to subject himself to this.
The long-term effect, Skip, there will be time that when it's 3rd and 10 and you can't run zone reads and you're going to need to make a completion.
Mm-hmm.
how does this help the development of him throwing the football? Mm-hmm. You only get good at something if you do something, and you need to be able to do it in the fire.
And so against Aaron Rodgers last year, he threw for 250 and 3 touchdowns. That's pretty good.
Okay. Well, then we'll build the offense around him. Build
the offense around him. Wait, in the playoff game against Aaron Rodgers, he threw for 303 touchdowns. Does that work? Scored 31 points in both games. He scored 31 points.
Well, guess
what? Will that work? I think that means he could throw the football.
That will work. Yeah. But if they believed he can do that consistently, they would have him throw the ball more.
No, it's just part. It's a strength of his. It's not a weakness. It's a strength. The other quarterbacks don't have this, except for Cam, have this kind of strength.
That's where I agree with you. I'm with Jerry Jones on this one, too.
Well, thank you.
I am with Jerry Jones. I believe that in whether you think it's a right now impact or a future impact, it doesn't matter. If it equates to winning ball games, you need to do it. When I look at Dak Prescott, he hasn't proven that he can consistently stand in the pocket and prove that he can win games just by solely doing that. When you look at his completion percentage in 2016, 67% completion percentage. Why? Play action and his ability to be a dual threat running. He didn't run a whole lot, but when he did, he was very effective. When you look at last year, you take his completion percentage down to 62%. They wasn't as effective running the ball. A part of that, he had more rushing attempts and rushing yards, but Ezekiel Elliott wasn't as much of a factor last year. A lot of that has to do with the offensive line. You look at this year. His completion percentage is at 64%. We have a small sample size, but I'm with you on this. One of his strengths is his legs. If Shannon, someone told you that your strength is running, but we just want you to stand out here and just catch. We don't want you to really run. We just want you to stand over here and just catch the ball. Right. Would you have a problem with that? Absolutely, you would have a problem with that. You would say, well, if I can do both, why not use me to do both?
Yeah, but
it creates a dual threat.
I knew for the long-term success of Shannon and for the Broncos, I needed to become as proficient at blocking as I did catching the football. And for me, I went home and I worked on that. And I worked on that in training camp. And I worked on that in mini camp because I know in order for me to be the complete football player, because they couldn't get telltales. Okay, Shannon's in the game. It's a pass. Okay, Carswell's in the game. It's a run. No. Because there was going to come a time that they're going to count on O'Shea. They're going to come a time you can't run the zone read. You're going to have to make that throw, Skip Bayless.
Okay, he can make the throw. Jared, but it helps him make the throw when the defense is on its heels about play action.
But Stephen Jones says there's going to come a time that old Dak Prescott is going to want $30 million. I'm not paying a guy $30 million to do zone reads.
I'll give you an example. And I do not like comparing Dak Prescott to Russell Wilson because of Russell Wilson's advancement and how quickly he caught on. But when Russell Wilson first got in the league, they did a lot of zone reads.
Yes.
And they threw off of that zone read and scored a few touchdowns with them faking the run, him acting as though he was going to run, and then popping it to his receiver when he slipped the corner on the sideline. He progressed into a much better pocket passer. Why? It wasn't because they eliminated what he did well. They implemented what he did well, and they slowly were able to back off of that as he built confidence in his ability to stand in the pocket, make reads, and make the right decision and be more accurate. This is the process that Dak Prescott is going to have to take. And I agree with Jerry Jones. As of right now, he's not there. So utilize his strength, all of his strength.
But you know what happens when you run the ball like that 8 to 10 times a game? It affects your ability to throw the football because you're taking shots.
I don't agree with that. So
you know what?
So you don't think getting to the quarterback early affects him late?
No, it's a different type of getting to the quarterback. When you're running the ball, you're not a sitting duck.
You're taking hits.
You're taking hits, but you're being, to your point, Skip, he's 250 pounds. You're being the aggressor on these hits. You can dodge this. You can respond to these.
And a smart slider. And the game is rigged where if you give yourself up, they can only touch you down, right?
But for me, you know what? I'm gonna tell my defensive end.
Okay.
If they put that ball in the belly, a linebacker, you got Zeke. I want you to come put your helmet under Dak Prescott's chin.
And you know what? What defensive end after a while is gonna say, that man's hard.
No.
I doubt if you say that.
See what they did to Cap? They started giving up. Forget the running back. Let him run. I need Suggs in the Super Bowl. What did they do to Cap?
You're right.
Punish him.
Until they do that, I'm going to need you to run, son.
Okay. So Stephen Jones says you can't consistently serve your quarterback up as a runner.
Can't do it.
There's only one play last year I don't want to see again, but it was crucial at the time that it was executed. If we could see that play at Arizona on Monday Night Football after that debacle in Denver, Dak took off and did the somersault over two DBs. Okay, what was the circumstance? They're down 7-0 with a minute left in the first half, and they're coming off the 42 to whatever it was at Denver. Mm-hmm. Disaster. So he just said, okay, I guess I got to take this game into my own hands, and I'm going to have to put my body at risk to get in the end zone so we can be 7-0 at halftime. And they were. And then he made two throws in the second half, both of them to Bryce Butler, one on a broken play and the other one on a rollout, because he can throw it on the run just as well as he can stand flat-footed and throw it from the pocket.
You know why I don't mind that, Skip? I don't mind that because it not only fires your team up, it fires you up. When you make a play like that as a player, it's like hitting a couple three-pointer shots in a row. Mm-hmm. You start feeling yourself. You think, now, I can make this throw. I can make that throw. The rim becomes a little bigger. I can shoot from here.
Okay, I got it. But was it a little risky?
It was a little risky.
But how about 44 not doing his job?
You always say that you never give the offensive player credit. It's always, well, the defense.
I don't have a problem with that. But if you do your job, what's your job? If you're the end, what you got? You got quarterback. Mm. You ain't got to dive back. That's the linebacker's job.
Do you know how good 21 is?
That's not
21. You
Greg,
get 21.
Greg, if your
centric.
Job is to run a comeback, why are you running a post?
You're right. Look, I've oftentimes looked at defensive ends and guys who are coming off the end, and I'm like, why would – I'm not in that situation, so I can't speak to that.
You know how many times he pulls the ball back out and there's nobody home?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you take your 6 or 7 yards and just get down? It's easy. It's a gift.
Skip, you know why I beat guys? Because they get so caught up. If you got a safety in the hole, why are you botting a post move that I got? You got the 7 route, but you get caught up in trying to shut me down, that you get careless and you try to run up under the post, but I'm going to the 7. It's a touchdown.
Do they fear 21 running the ball more than 4? You better believe
Absolutely.
They do.
But that's not my job. I let the coordinator, well, you better tell me I better got the dive back. Mm. Other than that, I'm putting my my helmet under the chin of the quarterback, and I'm going to keep doing it. No, they'll stop calling it. Mm. I'll make you stop calling that play. Mm. I'll make you stop calling it.
All I know is that Dak kept the ball 7 times for 45 yards against the Giants, and they were crucial.
Yeah.
Changed the game.
Because they now didn't understand responsibility.
You know
got responsibilities.
I don't even think he was sore the next day. 250 pounds.
No, he's okay.
I don't know about 8 to 10 times a game. If anything, about 4 to 6 design runs a game. Mm. 8 to 10 is a little high.
Greg, you know you're young. You're not sore. You go back out there, man, my first 4 or 5 years in the league, we play a game on Sunday. I'm ready to go back again on Monday, Tuesday.
Okay.
But as you start getting a little older, all of a sudden that old man said, you still sore on Thursday. You still sore on Friday. Like, dude.
We're all about win now. We are all in for 2018.
Hey.
You're not winning the Super Bowl. You better be thinking about long term. Because you're not winning the Super Bowl this year.
How do you know?
You're not even getting to the playoffs.
How do you know?
Yeah, I know.
You better hope.
I know.
You're hoping.
I know.
Let's start with how they do it
you
on
get
Sunday.
A, you want to get a dinner on that?
On which?
Oh.
On the fact that the Cowboys will not win a Super Bowl this year?
No, I got to make the playoffs. I'll do that.
You just want in on the dinner?
Hey, dinner's getting thrown around left and right.
Who wants in on dinner dates? All right, we'll find one for you. No mercy. Aaron Rodgers spoke out yesterday about the roughing the passer penalty that Clay Matthews received Sunday against the Vikings. Rodgers said, quote, they're trying to think about the progress of the game and the safety and stuff, but it's still a collision sport. And those, to me, are not penalties. He added that some of the rules might be going in the wrong direction. We are joined once again by Greg Jennings. Greg, are you surprised to hear these words from Rodgers?
Absolutely not. I'm not surprised. This was his teammate. This was their opportunity that they feel like this cost them a chance to win the game. They're forgetting that Mason Crosby missed an opportunity well before this happened or after this to where they could have still took advantage of it and won the game. So when I look at it, this is a quarterback siding with his teammate, his player, his defender. If Aaron Rodgers last year had have stood up in that up at the podium and said, the hit that I took from Anthony Barr was not as worthy of being penalized or all this this conversation around it or big deal or worthy of getting the rules changed, then it would be a whole different topic. But I'm not shocked because this is his teammate. Mm-hmm. Him saying that the league is, he thinks that they're potentially going in the wrong direction, I disagree with him there because him being down, when you are that guy, you don't really know the importance that you have, the impact that you have on the game as a whole. You may know the importance that you have within your organization, but the impact that Aaron Rodgers has and Tom Brady has when they are not present to play week in and week out, it impacts and affects the entire NFL. And so I think what they're doing is correct in protecting the quarterbacks. We've heard Von Miller mention it. He understands it, but they have to find a way to regulate it a little better. I didn't like the call, but I'm not shocked at Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so now that you've had 4 days to process it, you definitely think it was the wrong call.
Oh, I said that right away. Yeah, I think it was.
Personally, you thought it was wrong, but by the letter of the
by
law.
By the letter of the law.
It was right.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't right by the letter of the law.
Yes,
either.
It is.
No, for me, I don't have a problem with them throwing a flag because of what I know they're trying to do.
Do that?
I don't have a problem with them throwing the flag, but then to say as a league, to come back and say, well, we got it right.
I'm not surprised. I told you about his surprise. He's defending his teammate. He feels this call cost them a ball game.
It did.
And
field goal or no field goal, it's game over at that moment. Is over.
But if you see him walking off the field, we had to block out what he was saying to Anthony Barr.
Yeah.
The league have put these rules in place. And the greatest beneficiary of these rules has been the quarterback and the offenses because we've seen an explosion in numbers, unprecedented numbers. Mm-hmm. It used to be, Skip, when you covered the game, if a quarterback threw for 3,000 yards, he had an unbelievable season. If your quarterback does not throw for 4,000 yards in today's game, he's a bum. John Elway had one 4,000-yard season. I don't know if Troy Aikman ever had a 4,000-yard season.
That's why you think Dak Prescott's a bum. Right? Am I right? Yeah.
First of all I'm saying is, can I finish
my
point?
That's what you were saying?
No. The numbers that we're seeing is because of the protection of the quarterback. The quarterback gets to stand in the pocket, and he knows unless he gets hit in the number, that's the only area you can hit the quarterback in, is the numbers on his jersey. The guy's 6'6", and you get a 12-inch frame to hit. That's what you get to hit. But so let me ask you a question. Can you pick the running back up and land all your weight on him?
Absolutely.
Can you pick the wide receiver up?
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying, Skip. Aaron Rodgers gets four of these protections. Now he doesn't want them. It's always somebody that gets the protection that doesn't want them.
Does the popularity of the National Football League hinge upon the injury that can be suffered by a running back or a wide receiver?
No.
It's a quarterback's game. You have to protect the quarterback, but you have to have a 12-inch window, okay? Clay Matthews found the little sweet spot on little sweet Kirk Cousins. He sweetly wrapped one arm around him with a textbook tackle, just wrapped him around and took him gently to the ground and laid him gently in the crib on the ground. No. That's what he was.
You do that so well.
I didn't see the snuggie. Snuggie.
It was as gentle a tackle as you could execute on a quarterback, and it was not a penalty. It clearly did not fall into the boundaries of what's illegal. And there's a big, wide boundary of what's illegal now. But was it helmet to helmet? No. Hands to face? No. Was it late? Nope. It was right on time. It was simultaneous to the release of the football. Did he pick him up off the ground and body slam him on the ground? Nope. Did he body weight him? Did he fall on top of him with all of his 250 pounds? He did not. He took him to the ground. No, he's 250. Clay Matthews.
No, I'm saying he only put 230 of it on.
Oh, put 230?
Yeah. I don't even know if you put that on.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, 75.
He put about 10 pounds 75. On his body. And you know what? I love Aaron Rodgers. I love
him. No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. You love Aaron Rodgers.
I love
Aaron
Rodgers. Yeah.
He's smart. He's insightful. And in this case, he was courageous because he said what everybody was thinking. That just wasn't a flag. And I love what he said. I think we all know it was an incorrect call. And there was a dot, dot,
no,
dot there,
don't.
Except for Shannon Sharp.
And the NFL.
Yeah. He said, I think everybody, including Viking fans, see it the same way. Mm-hmm. Jenny Taft, heart of hearts, knows it was not a penalty.
I wasn't mad when they called it.
If you don't mind me asking, what did all Green Bay Packer fans say last year when Anthony Barr knocked him out? That was a penalty. Absolutely. They should have called roughing the passer.
Hey, but who wants to see Aaron Rodgers gone for two-thirds of the
year? So you're saying we could take Kirk Cousins out and we're fine.
But he wasn't in harm's way. Did that jeopardize him? Did that
you
hit,
never know.
Quote unquote, put
him
in danger?
No, and no. That's my problem that I have with it. That's why I'm saying I would have never thrown the flag. I don't think that it was a foul, but with the rules that are in place, I don't have a problem with the referee throwing the flag to err on the side of saying
that's what they tell
just
them,
in
on the
case.
Side of caution.
It's the crucial turning point moment that of the whole football game. It is going to be won or lost on whether you reach and grab your yellow.
No, you had five.
Right?
Hey, Greg, did they not have five opportunities inside the red zone to get touchdowns?
Thank you.
I don't
want
to hear about that.
Thank
All
you.
I care about is that flashpoint moment. Kirk Cousins turned back into Kirk Cousins right on schedule.
That's the problem you have.
Yeah, exactly.
And he wild-eyed heaves on, and it's intercepted, and the game is over.
And then he got a new lease on life. My first Cousins did what he's supposed to do.
The more I have heard you say this, I keep putting Dak Prescott in this situation and saying if Dak Prescott then went on after that play to throw the ball that Kirk Cousins did and they make the catch that Adam Thielen made, yeah. You would say, did you see that throw?
Well, it would have been a great throw.
I don't know about that. Oh, Greg, thank you for being here. Always a good time. Did I hear happy early birthday? I just
yes.
Throw it in there. Hey, thank
Who knew?
You.
No mercy.
The Patriots are a big 7-point favorite in Detroit Sunday night. They struggled on offense and defense in their loss to the Jaguars, but they added Josh Gordon in a big trade earlier this week, and they will see Matt Patricia going against Bill Belichick after Patricia was the Patriots defensive coordinator for 6 seasons. We are joined by Rob Parker. Rob, do the Lions have a shot in this game?
I know people in Detroit, they always say, oh, you hate the Lions, you hate Matthew Stafford, blah, blah, blah,
but
blah, blah.
There's somebody he hates more. Am I right?
Yeah.
If you think that's where I'm going?
I don't know.
The Lions will beat the Patriots. They'll upset the Patriots. And here's the reason why. The Lions are on the brink. They're going to be desperate. If they lose this game, their season is over.
Win.
No. Huh?
Win.
What do you mean?
No, when they lose
this
game.
Oh, when they lose that, yeah. No, when they win this game. They have to be desperate. They have to look at this game as their season. Bears are better. Vikings are good. Packers are good. If you fall behind here and fall 0-3, you're essentially done. We've been waiting for 10 years for Matthew Stafford to have a signature victory. Have we not?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know one? Do you know one he's had?
No.
Never had one.
This would be it. Yeah.
And this is where the Lions need him most. It's not only about Tom Brady. It's about the Patriots' defense that I don't trust. And I get it. I talked to one of my CWPFs in Detroit. You know what that is?
Close,
warm, personal friends, right? CWPFs.
Nice.
Right? And he told me the team's a mess. Team's a mess. They don't like Patricia, the players. And then Darius Slay is out. Mm-hmm. So all those things point to blowout for the Patriots.
I think
they
Ziggy,
do.
Hadn't Ziggy Ansah.
Ziggy Ansah still hurt.
Yeah. He banged up. So I get all that. But it doesn't always add up. It's not always that easy. You thought, didn't you think that the Patriots were going to win down in Jacksonville last week? Mm-hmm. Right? And they were never in that game.
But I don't think anybody was surprised. I thought Patriots.
But what did you say? You said that you don't trust Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that?
Yeah.
And he threw for 377 yards and 4 touchdowns against this defense.
But when
Matthew Stafford is better than Blake Bortles. Matthew Stafford will destroy this weak Patriots defense, says Rob Parker.
Oh, exactly. But you just said, Skip, he just got out 2 minutes earlier. Matthew Stafford doesn't have a signature win.
He doesn't.
Blake Bortles got 2 signature wins. He beat Ben Roethlisberger in his backyard and went back and beat him again in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So he has 2. He's been in the league 4 years. Your guy been in the league 10 years with no signature win.
Well, 3 with the one on against Brady on Sunday.
Yes. So I'm just going by what you said.
I don't believe in the Patriots defense. I really don't. And I think that the Lions will be desperate. They have to win this game. I've seen this movie before where you think a team has no shot and they win a game.
Well, you know what? They have a shot. It's flu season in Detroit, so they're going to get flu shots. That's the only shot they got of beating Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's not losing to Matthew Stafford. A defense that's giving up 39 points a game. A defense that's giving up 39. Now, the Patriots really don't have a whole lot of problem scoring the ball. Now, Jacksonville's defense is one thing. They got, what, 13 points, I think, 13 points. No, 20 points against Jags. But Detroit doesn't have Jags defense. So to think Tom Brady's going to somehow go in there and lose to Matthew Stafford, yeah, who has yet to have a signature win over any good quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, when? He couldn't even beat Peyton Manning when Peyton was at his absolute worst. Mm-hmm. And he still couldn't beat a good. So you expect me to be him going to beat he's going to beat Tom Brady. His team, led by Matthew Stafford, you just told me he got no signature wins.
This will be the signature win. It's been a decade.
Skip, get your mans.
So, how many signature wins, speaking of Matthew, does Matthew Patricia have so far?
Like zero.
He got a lot of signature losses.
He's got a big signature opening night loss. He lost to a rookie quarterback in his first start after the rookie spotted him 7 points.
Yes.
And then the ceiling fell in on opening night on Coach Pencil, as I call him, Coach Patricia. And I'm looking at this, and they were respectable at San Francisco. They lost 30-27. And by the way, they sacked Jimmy G 6 times without Ziggy Ansah. I don't know how they did that. Maybe that's more about San Francisco's issues than Detroit's strength.
But also, though, a lot of those points at the end, those are the stat pad for points.
Because
once you're down by 17 with less than 10 minutes to go, now you start piling up stats.
You're taking the guy you ridiculed,
Patford,
against Tom Brady, against the greatest quarterback ever, in a Sunday night stage game where you're on the big stage, right? This isn't just some 1 o'clock start in Detroit that nobody really cares about.
Better than a dinner, Skip. Uh-huh. Going to get your dinner out of the deal.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Did catch my eye the other day. San Francisco rushed for 190 yards against that Detroit defense. Even though they were sacking the quarterback, 190
yards.
They
can't stop the run.
Yeah. And little Sony Michel, who finally got healthy, he flashed for me the other night.
He did.
The other day at Jacksonville. I said, okay, that kid's got something. He had one 15-yard run against Jacksonville. No big stats, but I'm thinking maybe he'll give them a little pop. And you know how Belichick will get with Rex Burkhead and James White. He'll go into a game like this. Remember how he'd do it at Indy on a Sunday night? And he'd say, you know what? This is going to be LeGarrette's game or whoever's.
Great.
Right?
Rush for 205.
He did against Indy that night because he just said, I'm going to run this ball down your throat whether you like it or not. And we're not going to deviate from it.
Right.
We're just going to run it all night long. We might run it 40 times down your throat. Well, I could see him doing this to your defense and just trying to ball control you because obviously there's no Edelman at this point. And you got to your point, you better keep that defense off the field against Stafford because I always have liked him because he has big ability. He has big
arm. He does. He's a good player,
and
but
when,
he's not
when
good.
He had Megatron, boy, they could put up some numbers. Whew, they did some numbers on my Cowboys. Remember that game in Dallas where they came back from 21 down and just torched them?
Well, they put even in Detroit where Megatron went for 329. When Dez Bryant talked about
huge 329
in front of Dez, and Dez was losing his mind on the sideline.
That was where I was with you on Brandon Yu's car, because that was Brandon Carr trying to cover Megatron. Really?
Well, he didn't want to talk about it. He got it.
Woof.
He won that part. But Skip, think about it. They gave up 170 yards rushing to the Jets. Isaiah Crowell went for well over 100.
He did. You know what? Good point.
So you're giving up 180 a game.
I'm not afraid of any of the Patriots running backs. None of those guys are going to rush for over 100 yards.
What about Isaiah?
Even against that.
Do you remember Sony Michel against my Oklahoma Sooners in the national semifinal? He ran wild.
Skip, he ran wild against Alabama.
I know. He did.
It's going to be a shootout, and Matthew Stafford is going to out-shoot. He's going to beat Tom Brady, throwing the football. It's going to be about how poor the defenses are. And I'm telling you, we just saw Bortles go crazy on this defense. Matthew Stafford will be able to do it. Here will be the first signature win, and people will finally get off my back in Detroit that I never picked the Lions, that I hate the Lions, that I hate Matt Stafford. I just call it the way I see it.
One guy, Tom Brady, has military-grade equipment, and the other guy is in the toy section. With water pistol. Stop it, Rob Parker.
So, you know, Rob, you finally did.
Let me. I want a dinner.
What you want? Dinner?
Yep. Well,
you've done it. You've convinced me. I got to get a dinner on this.
And I'm getting a 7.5 points.
No. That was straight up. You're picking it outright.
I want 100 wings.
You're not picking it.
I'm not betting 100 wings.
40.
Okay. I'm good with that.
No. I don't want that many. Let's see. I want 20 wings.
20 wings.
And Skip, I just want a dinner.
Do we want double or nothing at Mr. C's?
Yeah.
Double or nothing.
That's a big double or nothing.
No, wait a minute. Not double or nothing. Oh. Not Mr. C's. We'll have another dinner.
I think you better do a McDonald's dinner.
No, that's all right. We'll do that.
You better do double or nothing at Circle K.
Watch and see. Y'all better have me back on
We will
on
have
Monday
you back on.
When the Lions win this game, on. And you're going to go, Rob, you know something about football.
No, we're never going to say that. You might be on Monday, but Skip Norikos knows
Rob,
about football.
We love you and your dinners. We love you.
What a nice compliment. Great at taking everyone to dinner, Rob. Yeah. Thank you. I'm already excited for Monday. All right, thank you for being here. Have a great weekend, and we'll see how that one turns out. No
mercy. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Catch us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. Thanks for listening. See you then. Facts, sports, one of one.